Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Every once in a while, we gotta
the religious people.
There are 720 churches in Charlotte. I'm sure we can find one where you can stuff your face.
Shut up.
Quit pointing out the problem.
Men will be proud, arrogant, abusive. You watch some of today's rock star pastors, and you will see every characteristic Paul listed played out in vivid detail on the church stage.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yes?
Do you have a black helicopter sound effect?
Maybe.
Can you make a black helicopter sound effect with your mouth? Because I'm going to need one. This is Wretched Radio. Ready to be offended? You say, wait a second. That's O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. How can that be offensive? Well, apparently it can if you're in the Anglican Communion. Did you hear? The Church of England doesn't want to upset other faiths, so they're starting to suggest that the Anglican Communion not sing Christmas carols for Christmas anymore. And this is one of the carols that was on the list, and this is a glorious hymn, is it not? O come, Emmanuel. Ransom captive Israel, who mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. You know, it kind of reminds me of our Christmas Eve service at alpharettabiblechurch.org. We tried to imagine what it would be like to wait and wait and wait for the Messiah to appear. It was immediately after the fall. They felt the effects. God announced a curse, but he also gave a promise. There's going to be a seed, an offspring who will crush the head of the serpent. Who is it? Come, O come, seed. Come, O come, head crusher. And he doesn't show up. The promise re-given to Abraham. He'll be a father to land, nation, and a seed, the offspring, Jesus Christ. Did he arrive the next day? Nope. And so they waited. Moses, given a promise, there's going to be a greater version of you. David, given a promise, there's going to be a greater King David who's going to sit on his throne forever. And the people were left in silence, longing. Where is the Messiah? Where is Emmanuel, God with us? And then John the Baptist announced, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." But that was 4,000 years in the waiting. Imagine what that would be like. And so this hymn, it captures it. Even just, okay, this is just a piano cello version, which is actually what we had on Christmas Eve too, with a violin. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Jimmy, I'm going to turn off the song. Get the black helicopter queued up.
Okay.
All right. So I think I've maybe got this figured out. I'm not kidding. The Church of England is saying, let's not upset other faiths. Don't sing O come, Emmanuel. It was an email sent to clergy in the Birmingham Diocese. Try to use language that won't add further confusion or tension or take away anything from the good news of the Nativity. Except take away the good news. We want to talk just, what is it? Some kid born 2,000 years ago? Why would we be celebrating that? It is because this is the long-expected prophet. The seed. The head crusher. This is what the people have been longing for. Take it out. You could offend somebody. So, Jimmy, you got that. Yeah, that's a little loud.
I'm sorry.
Wow, that was aggressive. You got anything more subtle?
I don't think so.
All righty then. Let's pod that down to about a 2. Can you soften that blow?
I think so. I'm sorry.
Here we go. Today?
Oh, okay. You ready for it?
Oh, it's so loud.
It's still loud.
It's just so loud. Okay. What? I don't crash? Is this a Jimmy Carter operation you got going on in there? That didn't sound so good. Listen to the lyrics of O Come Emmanuel. Why wouldn't they want this particular hymn sung? Why was this signaled out? and ransom captive Israel. O come, O come, this is verse 3, great Lord of might, who to your tribes on Sinai's height in ancient times did give the law in cloud and majesty and awe. Come, O branch of Jesse's stem. And rescue from depths of hell your people, save. O come, O key of David. Come, bright and morning star. One wonders if it wasn't maybe just a little too, I don't know, Jewish for the Anglican community. You can hit the helicopter sound effect now if you'd like to. There it is. The second hymn that you might not be familiar with that the Anglican Communion said it could cause a little bit of trouble. What a shame. Listen to the majesty of this hymn. This is what church music should speak. We're singing about something bigger and more glorious. This would be, I guess I'm too loud now. Would you call me the pot or the kettle? Which would I be? Lo, he comes with clouds descending. Apparently Queen Victoria loved that hymn, but they decided, with a link to research. That's what you want to do as a church. Let's take a look at research to see how people respond to our message, and then we'll alter it. Hey, that's the seeker-sensitive movement. Nevertheless, the second verse contains problematic words by stating Jesus is the true Messiah. Oh, why would you want to sing that as a Christian church? I think the term that somebody used, it was repeated in a number of articles that was breaking this Anglican story about Christmas carols. You know, you've lost the scent, Anglican community. You're just so far away from what you're supposed to be. Let me share with you the lyrics to this majestic hymn written by Charles Wesley, you know, an Englishman. Lo, he comes with clouds descending, once for favored sinners slain. Thousand saints attending swell the triumph of his train. God appears on earth to reign. Here's the problematic stanza. Every eye shall now behold him, robed in dreadful majesty. Those who set a naught and sold him, pierced and nailed him to a tree, shall the true Messiah see. There it is, the offense of the gospel, that he's the exclusive savior. There is no other. You cannot be redeemed without him. And the Anglican Communion, editing it out. Should it come as a surprise? Nope, not really. When the king, who is the head of the Anglican Communion, gave his Christmas Day speech, quote, the example that Jesus, I'm translating this, by the way, from King's English. The example that Jesus gave us is timeless and universal. I'm sorry. Even when it's a theme park, I see the word universal and I tend to get a little bit nervous. It is also to enter the world of those who suffer, to make a difference to their lives and so bring hope where there is despair. That's an effect of Christmas. But that ain't the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas is God in flesh to die for sinners, to be born under the law, to redeem those of us under the curse of the law, born of a virgin at just the right time. That's the message of Christmas. Does he bring peace on earth? Only between man and God, those who are reconciled because of Jesus Christ. As the famous Christmas carol, once in Royal David City, now, there's a hymn for you. When was the last time you heard this gem?
In Royal David City stood a holy cattle show.
Oh, what a great hymn. This is the beginning of 9 Lessons in Carols, which is a presentation from King's College. They do it every year, and normally it's spectacular because the hymns are great. It always starts with this hymn, which now the Anglican Communion doesn't even want sung anymore. And they make it all the way from the garden to consummation. It's usually magnificent. This year, it sounded Roman Catholic. And it sounded totally universalist. That opening prayer was like, P.U. And then this. King Charles said, as the famous Christmas carol, once in Royal David City, reminds us, our Savior Holy came down to earth from heaven, lived among the poor and mean and lonely, and transformed the lives of those he met through God's redeeming love. And how did he do that? By dying so their sins could be forgiven. Quote, that is the heart of the Nativity story. No, it's not. And we can hear its beat in the belief of all the great faiths, in the love and mercy of God in times of joy and suffering, calling us to bring light where there is darkness. All the great faiths? Nope. Only one faith is great, and only one faith has the message. God became flesh, dwelt among us, to die for sinners. Imagine the scandal of that message. You don't have to if you're a part of the Anglican Communion. This is Wretched Radio.
Big news from Fortis Institute. You know how we have eight fellows already bringing you free daily content at fortisplus.org? Well, starting February 7th, our very first fellowette will make her debut. Libby Glossett, one of the finest biblical counselors in the entire country, is coming on board. And you know, people might think we're trying to add a woman's voice to check some type of boxes or appease the feminists, but the truth is, we found one of this country's most incredible biblical counselors who just happens to be a woman. And her way of applying God's word to real life is extremely powerful. She'll be launching a weekly podcast and creating resources just for women. So if there's a woman in your life looking for solid biblical teaching, tell them to mark their calendars for February 7th and head to FortisPlus.org or go ahead and download Fortis Plus on their mobile device right now and be ready for Libby Glossin. FortisPlus.org.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Are you looking for biblical answers to life's toughest questions? Are you tired of shallow solutions that don't lead to real change? Welcome to Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford.
If you're dating someone that's not really convinced that Jesus rose from the dead, like hit the eject button. What are you doing? That's dangerous. Because they're not actually a Christian. They don't believe in the gospel.
Every week, Dr. Gifford brings you deep, practical wisdom from God's word, showing how scripture provides the framework for genuine transformation in your life, in your family, and in your walk with Christ. Whether you're struggling with difficult relationships or battling addictive habits, or just simply seeking to grow deeper in your faith, you'll find rock-solid biblical guidance that points you to Christ. Transformed is not just another Christian podcast. It's your weekly appointment with biblical truth. Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford. It's available at Fortis Plus and on all major podcast platforms. You can find out more about Transformed and Dr. Greg Gifford now at fortisinstitute.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1646. The Westminster Confession is drafted in the Jerusalem room at Westminster Abbey. The confessions were drafted by an assembly of Episcopalians, Presbyterians, and Independents. and became the foundation of Reformed theology throughout Europe and America. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Jimmy.
Yes.
I'm not trying to buy time here. I'm not looking for something in particular. And I'm not trying to stall, admitting that I was. I would just, for the sake of everybody's benefit, if you'd kindly let everybody know about the MLK special.
Oh yeah,
that we're doing, that would be great.
Yeah, that's coming up on the 20th, January 20th at 9 p.m. It's a webinar with you and Virgil Walker.
And correct. Jason Allen.
And Jason Allen.
You remember him. His beard is better than yours. Dude, you're growing yours out, man.
I am for
you
sure.
You are looking like a mountain man. Thank you for that announcement.
You're welcome.
Could you stretch it out a little bit? Because I can't believe what I'm hearing. We were listening to Nine Lessons and Carols. If you've never listened to it, I'm telling you, overall, it's the bomb diggity. And this year, something caught my ear. It was December 24th. It happens, of course, in the morning here because it's evening in England. It's at King's College. And the choir marches in and they sing Once in Royal David City. It's very high church, but it's theologically sound when they start getting into the Bible reading. So they basically read the Bible, sing. Bible, sing. And it's, let me see. Yeah, 9 lessons in carols. How providential is that? And 8 of the carols are magnificent, except for their commissioned carol. Oh, yeah, yeah. So I'm looking at the YouTube machine right now. And they'll, O Holy Night, Once in Royal David City, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, all of these great hymns. And then they have a commissioned tune written by somebody from the 21st century. You know, it's that modern, and it's like, oh, it's so jarring. And it's so not in keeping with the theology that the other carol music has. You say, carol music, what about the carol? No, I say, even the music has theology. Music without instruments speaks. Music says something, even when there are no words. And the music of all of the great carols with the pipe organ, it's majestic, it's high, it's transcendent. With these, it's just every time it's like, oh, just let's put it on hold until we get through this nightmare. Turn it down. And then we wait for it to return to glorious music. And as we were listening to it this year, they began with a prayer. And I thought, whoa, I don't remember it being this Catholic. They were talking about Mother Mary and they were talking about it, literally about the Catholic Church and the unity that we have. And I was like, wow, come on, Ricky. So now in looking for the 2024 Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols, can't find it. I can find some of the individual hymns. They've got that, but they don't have yet, for whatever reason, posted the entire service. But they do have on the YouTube machine, King's College Festival of Lessons and Carols, 1954. So if you're doing the math on that, that's a lot of years difference. And I queued it up to when the guy is praying to, because I was going to say, all right, you're going to have to trust me. The guy that gave the prayer in 2024, Catholic Mariology, but they would never do that in 1954. It appears Jimmy was wrong.
Let us prepare ourselves, go in heart and mind to Bethlehem, and to see the child lying in a manger. Let us read and mark the story of God's loving purposes and of the glorious redemption brought us by this holy child. And let us make this chapel, dedicated to his pure and lowly mother, glad with our songs of praise.
It was going on in 1954. Let's keep listening.
But first, let us pray for peace and goodwill over all the earth, for unity and brotherhood at home and in Her Majesty's dominion. And because this would rejoice His heart of love, let us remember before God the cold, the hungry, and the oppressed, the sick and those that mourn, the lonely and the unloved, the aged and the little children, all those who know not the Lord Jesus.
Is he praying? Or is he telling us what he's going to pray? Did we get there yet?
I don't think so.
Love him not. And those who rejoice with us but upon another shore and in a greater light.
In a greater light? That sounds... He couldn't be referring to the Roman Catholic Church, could he? Yikes.
The Almighty God bless us with his grace. Christ give us the joys of everlasting life. And unto the fellowship of the citizens above, may the King of Angels bring us all.
I guess that was the prayer. So apparently an emphasis on Mary has been going on for decades. The Roman Catholic Church is, apparently there's, it's called the, oh, Jimmy, would you be kind enough to Google, not V. Gene Robinson, he's the Episcopalian bishop, the first homosexual Episcopalian bishop, at least out of the closet, the fellow, Calvin Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
He's in Michigan. Did you know that?
I did not.
And if you Google him, I think it's called the Old Catholic Church, because he was kind of singing Mary's praises too, which was a bit of a bummer because he sounded rather evangelical. Other than that, so the influence apparently of the Roman Catholic Church, which shouldn't shock us, is still a part of the Anglican Communion, because the Anglican Communion, as you know, courtesy of Henry VIII, it was a spinoff of the Catholic Church. It's somewhere between Catholic and Protestant. It is on paper an Orthodox denomination. How they've been behaving today? Oof-da. Headline from the Christian Post. Anglican group claims not everyone in Bible is cisgender. Okay. And this is so flimsy. Now, please note, this is not an authorized group of the Anglican Communion. They call themselves Anglican, but they are not officially. It's founded by a retired Anglican priest. It's called Changing Attitude, to transform what it describes as the church's patriarchal, heteronormative, white, Western privileged culture into one that unconditionally embraces lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex, and queer people. It is not an official position of the Church of England, but they call themselves Anglican, and this is what they're gunning for. They give an example from Acts chapter 8. You immediately go, oh, I get that one, Philip the Ethiopian eunuch. What? They're using that to prove that transgenderism is in the Bible? And let's just say it is. Let's just say the Ethiopian eunuch were transgendered. And where does it say, and God is groovy with that, there's more than two genders? It doesn't. Besides, it appears that he was a eunuch. Jesus, if you recall, in Matthew 19, he describes three types of eunuchs. It must be 19 because that's the marriage chapter. Yeah, 19. And he talks about three different types of eunuchs. There are those who are self-imposed eunuchs, which apparently are those who do not use a knife. Instead, they just set themselves apart, abstain from any sort of intimate activity for the sake of serving their God. There's that. But then you've also got those who are in royal courts. Yep, they were, they experienced that. It appears that was the Ethiopian eunuch. He didn't do it to himself. It was done to him. This group is trying to say, see, the Bible's cool with that. The Guidance, that's the name of the organization, interprets this as evidence that the eunuch was accepted as a full member of the church without having to be totally male or totally female. God called him just as he was. That is just blatantly wrong. It's not like he was intersex. He had been mutilated by somebody. Nevertheless, they claim that while there are no characters in the Bible who could be definitely identified as intersex, there are some characters who might be. Well, you know what? That's a little flimsy for building somebody's eternity on it. Well, there might have been, so go ahead and live that way. How dangerous. It references Jesus' interaction with the Samaritan woman in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, suggesting her story hints she could be intersex. She could be. Doesn't say it. Might be. Possibly. We think that maybe, we were drinking too much, and we just kind of imagined that maybe she could be. So let's go with that, shall we? It adds that while identifying queer characters in the Bible can be challenging, I'll say. Examining gender roles reveals examples such as Deborah, the female judge, a role characterized as a very male thing for a woman to do. Well, first of all, these people shouldn't think that there's any distinctions between male and female. Furthermore, to say that Deborah was transgendered or intersexed because she was actually appointed as a judgment over Israel because the men weren't stepping up, well, this is just tragic. And this is the type of influence that it's made its way into the Anglican Communion. Have you found Calvin Robinson?
Yep.
Where is he?
He is at the Anglican Catholic Church, St. Paul Anglican Catholic Church in Grand Rapids.
Aha.
Yep.
I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to that website. Pray for the Anglican Communion. This is Wretched Radio.